Our scripture passage this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the fourth chapter, verses 12 through 23. And listen for the word of God to you. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the lake, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. May God bless to our understanding the reading and hearing of God's word. I've realized that lately when it's been my turn to preach in the pecking order, John the Baptist seems to appear in the lectionary text. That's certainly the case last month, and it's the case again today. And last month, I was recalling how John was in the dungeon, full of despair to the point of questioning whether or not Jesus was the Messiah. In today's passage, it's perhaps Jesus' turn to face despair. He's finished learning from John, his teacher and cousin, and he has finished his time of fasting and being tested in the wilderness, and he's ready to begin his ministry. He's probably in need of a good second wind at that point, but what he receives instead is he gets the wind kicked out of him. He hears that John, his teacher and cousin, has been handed over to Herod. It's bad news, and it's a bad sign. It means that the bad guys are still in charge, and they show every indication of keeping on being in charge. It means that the powerful are getting more powerful, and that the poor and the oppressed could expect more of the same. There's very little to hope for in a climate and an atmosphere like that. It seems that nothing's ever going to change, and hope is quickly lost. And so, what does Jesus do? How does he respond? Well, he begins a revolution, literally. He turns around. The scripture says that he found out about John being handed over to Herod, and he stopped what he was doing, turned around, and headed for Galilee, making his home there. In other words, he, in that moment of despair, turned around and headed straight for the lion's den, straight for Herod, straight for where John had been handed over. And as he goes, as he turns and he goes, he also picks up and begins to repeat John's message, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Now, repent is one of those old-timey, churchy words that even those of us who are comfortable with the church can still feel uncomfortable around.
I think that's because the way most of us were taught it, repentance means owning up to how rotten you are. It means saying out loud, if only in the auditorium of your own soul, that you are a selfish, sinful, deeply defective human being who grieves the heart of God, and that you are very, very sorry about it. It means dumping all of your pride onto the ground, all of the ego and arrogance and vainglory, and stamping it out, because such pride is the root of so much evil. But what if it isn't? What if pride isn't the problem we face at all, but its very opposite? What if the main thing that most of us need to repent of is not our arrogance, but our utter despair? That things will never change for us. That we will never change. That no matter what we say or what we do, we are stuck in the mess that we have made of our lives, or the mess that someone else has made of them. But in any case, that there is no hope for us. No beginning again. No chance of a new life. That is a problem. Well, in case you didn't pick up on it, the kind of repentance that most of us shrink from is all about us. It's all about me, 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 the horrible sinner. And so, no wonder it's so revolting. But there is another kind of repentance, and it's the healing kind. It is far more interested in God. It spends more time looking at the kingdom than it does looking in the mirror. And it has more faith in God's power to make new than in our own power to mess things up. And when you begin to turn away from what the voices inside of you are telling you is wrong with you, when you turn for a moment away from what you fear is wrong with the world and may never change, when you turn from that and look, really look at what God is doing in the world, that is good news. That process, that discipline of repentance, of turning around, that is something that leads to good news and to light in the midst of the darkness. And the gospel lesson for today shows us what kind of an effect that this discipline, that this process has on people. Jesus calls his disciples by the lake shore, and the immediacy of their response in answering the call and becoming disciples is very telling. They lived in the world, after all, and they were in despair. The narcissistic and power-hungry live in palaces and in the halls of power. The truth-tellers and those who cry out God's demands that we care for the widows and the orphans and the foreigners and the outcasts are greeted by cries of lock them up. Their spirits are down in the depths, in other words. They are under the occupation of Rome and its authority, and a king who pretends to be faithful to their faith but is not. They are down in the depths, just like their fishing nets are down in the depths of that lake. And yet, Jesus comes and begins to suggest to them that things can change, that you can turn around, start heading in a different direction, start focusing on what God is doing, and you can change, and your outlook can change, and your world can change. And if despair has gotten you to start believing that things are never going to change and that it's looking a bit hopeless, repent of that. In other words, turn around from all of that. Stop looking at yourself and your flaws. Stop focusing on the trouble in the world, and instead turn around and see where you're needed. Turn around and see where you are loved. Turn around and see what a difference you can make and what a difference God can make through you. Turn around. Start a revolution, literally. Those of us who've committed ourselves to a life of repentance and return will not give up on ourselves, nor will we give up on the world, no matter how many times we have to repeat the process. We will keep telling the truth and turning around every day, if need be. We will never say never. I'll never recover. I'll never get it. I'll never learn. I'll never change. And why? Because we believe in God's goodness more than we believe in our own badness. Have you given up on hope? Turn around and watch the world start to turn around too. Amen.